The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency. Here's your host, Art Silva.
Good morning and welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is all about your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. Our show is brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency serving the Siouxland community. Our topic today is post-traumatic stress disorder, or more commonly known as PTSD. Joining me today from Family Services is Chief Operating Officer Brenda Geisinger and Clinical Therapist Christy Spicer. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy 4th of July weekend for you. We're going to have a beautiful weekend out here. So in celebrating the 4th of July, what kind of brought this topic to mind were fireworks. And you read about the impact fireworks has all for joy and stuff. But some folks and animals are really affected by it. And particularly those folks suffering from PTSD. So I think the first thing we could do this morning, and we hope to, in sharing this information, educate our public in consideration of other folks when you have your fireworks activities. This is a pretty severe problem for them that they deal with. So hopefully today we'll give you a little more information to understand their situation. So let's start it off. And Christy, let me ask you, what is post-traumatic stress disorder?
So post-traumatic stress disorder is a disorder that people can experience after they've had something happen that they either witnessed or happened specifically to them that was really bad, sad, or scary. And so that can cover a lot of different situations and events, but that's kind of what has happened. And then there's criteria for them to meet as far as having post-traumatic stress disorder, such as hyperarousal, avoidance, and intrusive kind of thoughts about the event.
I think the other thing that's important to note, it could be a one-time event or a situation that you've experienced that has caused this, or it could be several times that you've gone through an event or exposure. So it's not just inclusive of, you know, this event happened to me several times. It could be a one-time life experience and you're really struggling with it.
You know, a lot of attention to PTSD was done with the military coming back. And it used to be referred to previously as battle fatigue or shell shock. And then it recognized a lot of people have this. And Brenda, you talked about it can be a one-time occurrence, and it could be the death of someone that could also put you into that deal. So it is a wide spectrum here of things that could cause PTSD. So what are some of the symptoms that you would see, Christy?
So some of the things that a person might experience or someone else might notice is some avoidance. So I'm trying not to go to places that remind me of what happened. I might also be trying to avoid thoughts, which is a very internal thing, and other people might not notice that. You might be more easily startled than you were before. And be really paying attention to maybe dangers that might be around you and things like that. Some people do experience some mood changes, maybe some depression or some anxiety. Experience some anger as well that maybe is not typical for that person. So it's a change in that behavior.
It also kind of kicks in the fear of flight or feeling unsafe and how to control that. So if you're trying to avoid situations that might cause that hyperarousal, or I'm really, really scared, you avoid that. Or when you're encountering those experiences, you go into this automatic mode of how can I get safe again, or how can I get away from this situation so my body and my feelings and my thoughts don't have to re-experience what I went through before.
You know, you bring up something. I know of several people that have been in car accidents and they do not want to drive again. So you could, that kind of now it makes sense. Back then when I was still in the business and you would hear stories and, no, I'm not going to drive anymore. I just don't want to. And there's a classic example of that. How about your cognition and mood symptoms with PTSD? Do you start to see that change? It could be a rippling effect going downhill.
Yeah, it can definitely do that where you can, you know, like you had kind of said, sometimes it takes a while for it to show up. And so some people can start to experience some things and it can kind of gradually even get worse and impact their functioning in their daily lives and the things that they do. Another thing for cognitively that people will experience sometimes is some memory issues, maybe both about the event that happened, no longer being able to remember certain portions that they had remembered, or never remembering those things. But then also, I think, you know, people can become preoccupied with working so hard to not remember that event that they also see memory issues in other areas, too, because our brains are really sophisticated, but they sometimes can do all or nothing things, too. So if I'm working to not remember that thing, I can also help myself not remember other things, too, that maybe you even want to remember.
Sometimes also a person may take on this feeling of I could have done this or I should have done this, or blaming themselves for the event that happened. If someone has died, they may feel like I could have stopped that, or if I had done this, that might have changed the outcome, and feel that self-blame or low self-esteem about the situation because they had no control over it or they couldn't make a difference of the outcome.
I'm Matt Silver, and joining me today on When Things Aren't Going Well, Christy Spicer and Brenda Geisinger from Family Services. And our topic today is PTSD. You know, we're talking about the symptoms, and I understand that they usually start soon after a traumatic event, but sometimes they may not occur for months, or they may come and go. So any thoughts on that?
No, I think sometimes there's experiences where you're just not kind of reminded of it. And so then it does.
Triggers it.
Yeah, you can get triggered and so then experience symptoms again from it. And then, you know, I think depending on different stages of life, when things happen, they can mean different things to you as maybe you go through life. So maybe you had an experience at 16 with a car accident and it was like no big deal and you're ready to go off into life. And then suddenly you have kids and your 16-year-old's going out to drive on their own. And then you start to experience some things related to that bad car accident that you had. Because it's just a different time in your life and you have different ideas kind of going on. I think you can experience some of those symptoms. It would be important then if they started to impact daily functioning that then you go and seek psychiatrist or therapist or your doctor to kind of talk about, is this PTSD? Is this I'm remembering? And what kind of intervention do I need at that point? Because it can be different for different people.
I think one of the things without PTSD is you may be doing very well and doing great in life, and then all of a sudden something happens and you get triggered. It could be a smell, it can be a sound, it could be a phrase, and all of a sudden you're feeling that wave of being overwhelmed or not being able to focus. And like Christy said, it can start right away or it can be years and years later and you're experiencing something that's causing flashbacks or a sensation and you're struggling with it again.
You know, if I was reading up on this and it was recommended that to get a diagnosis of PTSD, you must have all three of these symptoms for at least 1 month. And here are the symptoms. And I think, Christy, you mentioned this. Having little or no social support after the event, dealing with extra stress after the event, such as a loss of a loved one, pain and injury, or loss of a job or home, having a history of mental illness, or substance abuse. These are all areas that, you know, that kind of come with PTSD and put the other issues, that ripple effect I'm trying to come up with.
They're definitely areas that if people have some of that going on or don't have, like, the social support things, they're more likely to have to potentially develop PTSD. And so it's an important kind of consideration when you're thinking about what am I doing to help myself and what do I have going on? And a lot of times PTSD can have other things accompanying it, like depression, anxiety, substance use, lack of social support, all of those things. A stressful lifestyle can, you know, increase the likelihood of having PTSD.
Well, that's a good segue. We're coming up on our break right now. We're going to use the second half of our show to talk about treatments and things we can do. So we'll be right back. Don't touch that dial for more of When Things Aren't Going Well right here on KSCJ.
Let's face it, it happens to all of us. However, the pandemic has compounded all of our lives and activities. Even the simplest tasks seem harder. Hi, I'm Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at the Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Family Services is a United Way partner agency serving children and families of our community, and we're here to help. If you'd like to learn more about Family Services, please contact us via email, website, Facebook, or phone Mary Pickens. At Family Services, we change lives.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well. Our topic today is PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome disorder. During the first half of our show, we identified symptoms of PTSD. Let's talk about some of the areas that we can help. With me are Christy Spicer and Brenda Geisinger from Family Services. And Christy, do you want to try to frame where we are with PTSD and our understanding of it?
Yeah, so I think one of the things to recognize is that most of our understanding is coming from a lot of movies and TV shows where they are portraying someone with PTSD. And I think most of us have had those experiences where we're watching a show and see that portrayed. And a lot of times that means that this individual has had this big outburst or seems to be back in that kind of war zone and are experiencing that. And so then we see them do things that are really erratic and connected to that. And that can happen. That's real. People do experience their PTSD that way. But when people have trauma, that's not that kind of war type of trauma, but is something less than that. Maybe it's abuse from a parent or some other type of abuse that was really bad, sad, or scary to them. They may never show some big event like that where it's like they're back there, but that doesn't mean that they're not still experiencing the symptoms of PTSD and that it's not impacting them and that it's not real. It is real, and they do have those symptoms, and they do need the opportunity to receive help and support to help them get better.
I think the other thing to note is it's not gender specific. It can be males, females. It can be children, adults. It's across the board. There's no defined. It's just the subgroup. It can affect anybody.
I think, too, the thing that Brenda mentioned, children, and I think we forget about the children who are very, very young. Mm-hmm. Think under age 3 when we're like, they don't remember things, they can't tell us about it. That's true. They can't tell us about it, but that's just because their memory wasn't stored in a verbal way that it is once we're older. So they can't talk about it. It doesn't mean they're not still affected by trauma and, you know, really bad, sad, and scary things that happen to them. And it's really important, I think, to just recognize that could still be something going on for an individual as they get older. They may have experienced something 1 year old, 2 years old, that could lead to some of these same symptoms.
Okay, let's talk about some of the areas that maybe we can help. Let's talk about treatment. Medication. Is medication a form of treatment that's helpful?
Yeah, for a lot of people it is. It generally tries to target symptoms like depression or anxiety. There's also some medication to help with nightmares if that's something a person is experiencing, which is really common with PTSD to have nightmares. So there are some medications that can be really helpful, and a physician can help sort through whether or not that's appropriate for an individual.
Well, you know, again, getting back to what you started talking about, how about mothers, new mothers? Can they have PTSD?
Absolutely.
Childbirth itself can be very difficult for some women, and they can have a trauma going through that experience. It's out there, and people need to be aware. Some childbirth experience can go very smooth, very well. Other times, it can be very traumatic.
Interesting. So we're finding a lot of areas that, you know, need to be aware of and look for the symptoms after certain events. What's the importance of therapy?
Therapy is really important because a lot of times when people have experienced a traumatic event, which is anything that's bad, sad, or scary, kind of according to what they define it as, they have a lot of thoughts and feelings about that. And a lot of times people feel like they're alone. They feel like no one's going to understand this. They maybe even feel crazy that they're having these things come up for them because maybe it wasn't that big of a deal, quote unquote. To other people that event happened. And so being able to talk to someone and just even be able to get that out is really important. And then there are specific therapy modalities, treatment that a person can experience in that therapy that can be really helpful, such as talking about really specific points of what happened, really talking through it. Or if they're thinking, you know, Brenda had mentioned earlier about maybe I didn't do something right. So they have maybe a little bit of guilt or responsibility for it happening that maybe isn't well placed, that somebody can help them kind of take a look at that and see if that's helpful to them or not, and maybe make some changes with it if possible. There's also some other things out there like EMDR, where you don't have to do as much talking about it, but can really be helpful for an individual too.
I think the other thing that therapy provides is some coping skills. So when you're not in the session and talking and working through that stuff, it can also teach you skills that you can use in your daily life and when you're by yourself or in social situations that you know how to use. So if you're having a flashback or getting triggered, you know how to handle those experiences.
You know, so looking at who's at risk for PTSD, it can be right across the board by the situation that you've been in. I read something interesting that women are more likely to develop PTSD. So I thought that was very interesting. And Brenda, you mentioned childbirth, but so many other areas of their life. If you're at risk if you had trauma in your childhood, that could put you at risk for PTSD. Feeling horror, helplessness, or extreme fear, you know, could put you at risk. Or just going through a traumatic event for a long period of time. You just can't seem to get over it. That could be put you at severe risk for PTSD. So awful lot that we've learned this morning. Anybody can have it. It can happen to anybody. But I think now we're starting to recognize it a little more. And Christy, you brought up something real important because you tend to overlook it, children. That trauma hides itself in so many ways. And I remember, Brenda, we were at a board meeting, and one of our boards, the Residential Treatment Board, has police officers. And sheriff and chief of police, and they talk about when they have to go into a home on a domestic abuse call and how tough that is. When the children witness this and the police get done with their business, the children are still, they haven't been treated. So we talked about that. What can we do to get the children some help? Because that could be a traumatic experience that stays on and on and on. So we're learning so much more about this, and that's why we're glad to share it with everybody out there. And we're hopeful that this weekend you understand a little better when someone says, you know, I don't really like the fireworks going off near me. And just be respectful of that, and that some people do suffer with this traumatic deal. Do you deal specifically with nightmares?
Absolutely. I see nightmares as probably one of the number one symptoms I see from folks. Maybe that's a little high, but it's a really common one, especially for children, but also with adults too. The nightmares, the disrupted sleep, and restless sleep is a lot of things, something that can really be significant for them. And as we all know, if we're not sleeping well, we're not functioning well in lots of other areas of our life. And so being able to address those things is really important.
I had heard once, and I think it's very true, PTSD is actually a mental health situation that can be extinct. You can get help, you can work through this, and you can get beyond it. So if someone is diagnosed or someone is struggling with PTSD, you're not stuck in this cycle for the rest of your life. There is hope. It can get changed, you can get help, and it can go away. But it's recognizing it and getting that help and working through it.
And you can certainly get help at Family Services, 293-4900. If you think you'd like to talk to somebody, give us a call. Well, coming up towards the end of our show, and every week we want to end our show with a joke. Humor is medicine for the soul. So here's our July 4th joke for everybody. Why aren't there more 4th of July knock-knock jokes?
And go boom, boom.
No. I like that. No, because freedom rings.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. Hey, happy July 4th, everybody. We really appreciate you being with us here today. I want to thank you, Brenda and Christy, and thanks to our listening audience for joining us this morning. A shout out to Tom Sherlock and all of America to help celebrate this July 4th weekend. We'll be back next week where the topic will be the summertime blues. Have a great week and may the sun shine on you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you.